Chapter 9. And the Oscar goes to...
Looking hot, Rach,
says a random junior. Bosch gives me a high five.
What up, dude?
Are we in an alternate reality?
Tammy asks. I give a half wave to my subjects. I've been working on it all morning. Kind of like a Miss America wave with a touch more flutter in the fingers. Weird, isn't it? It's not even 9 a.m. on Monday morning, and word has gotten around fast. Once again, I have reached the pinnacle of high school society. All I have to do is date the king, and everyone pretends they like me. It's faker than London's boobs. On the plus side, I'm going to prom. In other good news, classrooms are back to their non-doubled-up capacity. Construction guys have been working overtime. Not sure, gulp, where the money is coming from. But neither the adulation nor the solo desk is the best part of the day. Oh, no. The true prize is that Tammy is back. She surprised me at my locker this morning. I fully attacked her with hugs. Aaron, unfortunately, is still in bed. Seems his case is much, much worse. I don't even remember what he looks like anymore, Tammy complains. My moms haven't let me even visit him yet. They're afraid I'll have a relapse. I feel bad and all, but this way I get Tammy all to myself. Even though I warned her that Will and I are an item, she was not prepared for the sudden worship of our peers. It's like I've just won Best Director, and now everyone wants to be in my movies. And this time, I've learned my lesson. I am not, I repeat, not, ditching Tammy for the A-list. If they want to adore me, they'll have to adore Tammy, too. Case in point. We walk into math, and Dory and Jewel are sitting in the back.
Hi, Rachel, Jewel says. I saved you a seat.
Dory pats my chair like a throne.
Come sit with us.
I give them the half wave. Tammy sighs.
Go sit with them if you want.
As if. Are you kidding? No way am I giving those girls a second chance. Or in Jewel's case, a third chance.
Let's sit here, I say, pointing to two empty seats in the front row.
Tammy gives me her scuba okay and smiles.
Thinks she's too good for us, does she?
Dory huffs. Yes, much too good. We're on our way out for lunch when two large, sexy hands cover my eyes. Guess who, gorgeous? Obviously, the spell has made Will blind. Cute, yes. Pretty, maybe. But gorgeous? I wish. I untangle his hands and kiss his cheek. Hi, Will. My entire class is staring. He leans against my locker.
What are you doing now?
Going for lunch.
Want to come hang out with us instead?
Don't you have class? Freshmen and sophomores have lunch from 11 to 11:45. Juniors and seniors have it the following period.
Yeah, I want you to come to physics.
He laughs.
No. Sock gets freshman, sophomore lunch period off in order to work.
I must look confused.
Sock is student council.
Why do you call it sock?
I don't know. I guess it's because you can't really pronounce S and C, so we added a vowel. And O is better than I or you. Anyway, we have an office downstairs. Coming?
I guess it's S-O-C and not S-O-C-K. If I were them, I would have gone with S-A-C or S-A-C-K. Who wants to be associated with feet? S-A-C at least makes me think of a purse. And everyone likes purses.
I can't. Tammy and I are going for pizza. His face falls.
Can't you both come? Please?
Tammy pops up behind me.
He did say please.
So, let's hear your suggestions,
Will says to us.
We need to come up with a theme. Prom is May 27th. in 3.5 weeks.
What I need to come up with is a dress, a gorgeous princess. Where did she get that stunner? I'm lying on a pink sofa, my feet up on the school president's legs. I'm not sure what's more amazing, my access to school couches or my access to a boy's legs. The room is small but cozy, filled with couches, posters, and a stocked fridge. Who knew? It's like a college dorm room in the school basement.
Vampires,
says the SOC secretary, River Eugenics, an uber-cool senior. He's the only person ever to be able to get away with having 4 eyebrow rings yet wearing a bow tie to school every day. I mean, come on. Those 2 styles just don't go together. Unless, like River, you're A-list, super smart, and an intern at MTV.
Black attire only,
he continues, munching on a piece of red licorice Will handed out at the beginning of the meeting.
And the light bulbs in the gym would be all red. All we need is a smoke machine and we're golden.
At least no one has mentioned the possibility that the gym won't be cleaned up in time for prom. Because it has to be. Having the prom in the gym is a JFK tradition, just like the fashion show is traditionally a prom fundraiser. The $10,000 raised at the fashion show is to be used for decorations, food, and music.
Shall we call it Night of the Dead?
Kat, the VP, says, laughing. Her full name is Catherine Postansky. Her beige capris and hoodie sweatshirt, pale face and mop of straight black hair make her look like an ice cream cone, and she keeps a purple pen behind her ear like a sprinkle. She's about my height, probably 5'1", and a size small, and she smiles a lot. For good reason. She's adorable and A-list. She was one of the few juniors invited to London's party on Saturday. Never mind she's the only girl in the sock. In sock? On the sock? Hanging out with these cool guys every day. The only other people in the room are Tammy and Bosch, and they're sitting together on the 3rd couch. I've been noticing that every few minutes, Bosch inches his way a smidgen closer to Tammy. Maybe he's developing a crush. Imagine if Tammy found a new boyfriend in the sock. How cute would that be? I mean, I like Aaron. He seems harmless. But I can't exactly double with them. The president of the student council wouldn't want to be seen with a lowly freshman. Besides his girlfriend, of course. And his friend's girlfriend. And this way, Tammy and I can go to the prom together. We'll go dress shopping, rent a limo, smile at each other as we're locked in our parents' embraces. I can't believe I was considering breaking up with him. Was I crazy? Blind to the possibilities? Oh, I think I am blind. I just noticed that there is someone else in the room. Jeffrey Zeigster, who's sitting in the corner doing his science homework. His brown hair looks painted on with gel, and his glasses are so thick that they look like bulletproof window panes. Hello? Has he not heard of contacts? He's part of the SOC, but the only person not elected to it. He was appointed by Conch because of his high GPA. Apparently, he sees this meeting as more of a study hall than an opportunity to help improve the quality of student life at JFK.
Let's just hope the gym is ready in time,
Will says.
We've already scored some major donations from alumni for repairs. The administration put the money toward the classrooms first, but the gym and cafeteria have to be completely redone and are going to cost a ridiculous amount of money.
Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to follow up with Miri about that. Unfortunately, I've been a little preoccupied with the whole Will love spell stuff. Kat nods along with Will's every word, her head like a bouncing ball.
Until you hear anything, let's hope for the best.
All right. Any other ideas? Costume party?
Will suggests.
Is that lame?
No,
says River.
But I doubt London Zeal and her posse will want to dress up.
Most of the room laughs. I perk up. It seems not everyone is her biggest fan. Maybe she'll come as a witch, Kat says. She wouldn't even have to put on a costume. Funny as that is, witch jokes make me a wee bit uncomfortable.
She's not that bad,
Will says.
She's a friend of mine.
Such a politician. He's friends with everyone. What would you be? I ask Kat, anxious to change the subject. But I like Kat. She's funny, and her anti-London politics make her a potential mentor. I resist the geeky urge to beg her to be my friend. She shrugs. I don't get to go. I'm just a lowly junior.
Let's keep brainstorming, people,
Will says. That is so sad. She comes up with the ideas and then doesn't get to go?
What about Atlantis, dudes? Suggests Bosch. You know, the lost underwater city. I took some great pictures when I was scuba diving last month.
Tammy's eyes light up.
You dive?
Bosch straightens his posture.
Yeah, dude. Why? Do you?
Of course. I live for it.
High five,
he says, and they slap hands. Did Tammy just blush? They are so going to fall in love, get married, and have scuba babies.
I hate the water,
River says, fingering an eyebrow piercing.
Whatever you say, River,
Kat laughs.
Let's think of something else.
Tammy clears her throat.
What about an Oscar night?
Bosch gives her a scuba okay.
You could have a red carpet leading up to the gym. We could give out random mini Academy Awards,
River says quickly.
You know, for best mustache.
Weird, but funny. As long as it's not for best beard. The idea seems to be rolling around Will's brain.
I like it, he says. We could project old black and white movies on the wall.
The photographer could stand outside snapping photos like the paparazzi,
Kat suggests.
All in favor?
Will says. We all raise our hands. All except Mr. Studious in the corner. Will peers at him over the back of the couch.
Jeffrey, you in?
Startled, Jeffrey drops his pencil.
In where? Oscar theme for prom.
His eyes squint in mystification.
Prom? End of year dance? Prom. Oscar theme.
All right, he mumbles, and then goes back to his work.
He's shy,
Kat whispers to me.
So we're done,
says Will, and squeezes my knee. Kat raises an eyebrow.
What about Amy?
River snorts.
She's too busy with her boyfriend to make it to meetings, and she doesn't get to vote.
I forgot about Amy Coppola. She's in the sock, too, supposedly in charge of prom. Very tall, very skinny, very blonde, and very A-list. Apparently too cool to come to the sock meetings.
Who's she dating?
I ask.
Some NYU guy,
Will answers.
She spends both first and second lunches in his dorm. We'll count her as pro-Oscar. So 6 votes say yes. Oscar theme it is. Thanks, Tammy.
I give Tammy a thumbs up. I know in underwater language it means something besides good job, but she gets the idea. Tammy and I head to English on Cloud 9. If we were floating any higher, we would hit the ceiling. As soon as class starts, I slip a note into her copy of A Midsummer Night's Dream, the Shakespeare play about love spells gone amok.
How fitting.
Should I be concerned about what's going to happen when I'm a sophomore and we study Macbeth? My note.
Awesome ideas.
She blushes happily as she reads my scribble and then tosses a note back to me.
I can't believe you get to go. So lucky.
I write back. You might get to go too. Posh was drooling over you. And then I get a smiley face. Me.
What does that mean? Do you like him?
Tammy.
I already have a boyfriend, remember? I can't go to the prom with Bosch. Does he even have a first name?
Me. No clue. But maybe they'll let you go since you came up with the idea. Tammy.
No way. They won't even let Kat go.
Me. Crazy, huh? I like her. She's so sweet for someone A-list. Did you like her? Tammy.
Yep. She was nice. Considering...
Me.
Considering what?
Tammy.
Considering that she's in love with your new boyfriend.
I stare at the note and sink into my chair. 2 seconds later, I lean over to Tammy and whisper,
Why do you think she likes Will? She kept looking at him, and any time he talked to her, she blushed. I could just tell. Couldn't you?
I shrug. I didn't notice a thing. My self-centeredness is extraordinary, almost a superpower.
Don't worry, Tammy says. He was not looking back. He only has eyes for you.
That's one thing I'm not worried about, at least not for another few weeks before the spell wears off. I'll have to remind Mary to extend it to make sure I get to go to prom. I'll reverse it after that, though. Immediately after. Forcing someone to like you isn't the nicest thing to do. And Will is such a terrific guy. He deserves to be truly in love. When the bell rings, we pile up our books and head out the door. And that's when I run smack into Raph. And I mean smack into Raph. I guess I wasn't paying attention or something because I swing around and my forehead collides with his shoulder and my copy of A Midsummer Night's Dream and the accompanying notes soar through the air, the covers of my binder spread like a pigeon's wings. Meanwhile, I fly backward and somehow end up lying on my back, my hair all over the dirty floor, wishing I could zap myself to another country. Canada, maybe? Raph is suddenly on his knees by my side, hand on my shoulder.
Are you okay?
He asks, his forehead wrinkling into adorable little folds. I look deep into his speckled eyes and feel like I'm being submerged in a warm, bubbly bath. My heart sinks, and not because of my pounding forehead. Unrequited love hurts.
Rachel?
His yummy lips say. They're red and plump and juicy and...
Rachel?
He asks again.
Hi, Raph.
Hi, Rachel. Did I hurt you?
Yes, I say. My heart has been torn into thousands of shards that will no longer fit together. I mean, no, I'm fine. All good. He places his hand under my elbow and gently helps me back to my feet. He then lets go of my arm, picks up my binder and hands it to me.
I think this is yours,
he says. And then, after giving my elbow and heart a final squeeze, he disappears out of my life and down the hallway. The heart reversal spell is broken, I tell Mary, pushing open her door.
What?
She's at her desk reading A squared and doesn't look up. I tried to use it. I feel sick to my stomach every time I see Raph. I can't deal. So I tried spraying myself, but all it did was mess up my hair. Why didn't it work?
The spell is only a one broomer. It's not advanced enough for self-sumi.
I know what a one broomer is, but self-what? I have no idea what you just said.
Self-sumi is when you're trying to trick yourself with an emotion spell. And it won't work unless the spell is at least a four broomer.
So what can I do? Nothing? The pain must end. She hesitates.
We could try an anti-love spell. That's a five broomer. Should achieve self-sumi.
Perfect. Give it to me.
You sound like a junkie.
I flop backward onto her bed. I'm serious. Can you make me one? She puts down her pencil and tilts back her chair. Do you...
Don't do that. You're making me nervous, I interrupt. She tilts her chair back farther just to annoy me.
I'll give you a spell if you want. I know the perfect one.
Excellent. I'll no longer feel the pain.
Raf, who?
I need it now.
Her chair, still diagonal, she flips through the pages.
Are you sure?
Of course.
Why not?
Are you sure you want to wipe out your feelings?
I feel crappy, so yes.
Don't you remember all the stuff Mom told us about experiencing the good and bad in life?
This is the same mom who magically bleached her hair blonde on Saturday.
Miri makes a sour face. She said it way before she dyed her hair, when she still had perspective. She said experiencing the bad makes you stronger.
I flex my bicep. I'm plenty strong.
She tilts even closer to the floor. Bad things make you a more interesting person. More profound.
In that case, I must be the most interesting person alive. But maybe she's right. Maybe zapping away my unrequited crush will make me bland and boring.
Who cares? I'll be happy instead.
Let's do it, I scream. And Miri's slanted chair suddenly sails backward and she crashes to the floor. She makes a surprised squeak.
Told you.
You okay? She nods, and I lunge for the phone, which just started ringing.
Maybe it's Raf calling to tell me he's still in love with me, and I won't need the anti-love spell at all.
Aloha, Rachel.
Daddy, you're back.
My father has finally returned to the mainland.
How was it?
Rad. The cow-cow was Ono. That means the food was delicious. And the surfing was primo.
I space out a bit, thinking about Raf. I hear a muffle and I realize a few seconds too late that he might have just said,
My babe new wife Jennifer wants to say aloha.
Groan. The truth is, during the wedding process, I realized that she wasn't as bad as I made her out to be. But does that mean we have to be phone pals now? And what's up with the Hawaiian surfer speak? They didn't actually surf, did they?
Aloha,
she chirps.
Hi, Jennifer.
Did you go surfing?
Oh, yeah. You had to see me ripping it up.
She continues to tell me about how they scored some great rides and really hung loose. Eventually, she offers to email me her bodacious pictures and tells me she's stoked to see us this weekend, then asks to talk to Miri. Miri scowls as I hand her the phone and then rolls her eyes some more. Meanwhile, I wonder about the merits of subjecting myself to an anti-love spell. Or any spell, for that matter. Miri's track record hasn't been impeccable. There were cows in my gym. Miri finally hangs up, groaning.
She's emailing us pictures. I just finished cleaning out my inbox from all their wedding crap.
Let's talk about the ingredients, I say.
You'll need to get a black candle, dead sea salts, sunflowers, and a lock of Raf's hair. And then any feelings you have left for Raf will be gone. At least temporarily.
Groan. How on earth will I get Raf's hair? But do I really want all my feelings for him zapped into La La Land?
What if I decide I want to grow up to be a writer or a painter? Will I still be able to draw on this pain?
She sits back down in her chair.
What are you rambling about? I thought you wanted to be an astronaut.
Right. I did say that. Or a pilot on an astro-tourism jetliner, because according to 60 Minutes, that's so going to be the next big thing. Astronaut, painter, personal shopper, all sound demanding. Whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger, right? I decide I really don't want anything unnatural tinkering with my feelings. I mean, let's be honest. My sister isn't all that experienced. What if the spell backfires and instead of falling out of love, I fall into a well or something? Forget the anti-love spell. I'll deal.
keeping it real, you know? And anyway, I'm really way too lazy to try to locate all those ingredients. She shrugs and flips the page.
If you say so. I bet the real reason is that you're too lazy to get the ingredients. Can I get back to saving the whales now?
How did she know?
The rest of the week flies by in a surprising haze of happiness. Will drops by my locker after every class and always gives me a quick kiss on the lips. He slides I love you notes into my textbooks. Afternoons are spent hanging out at the A-list in spot. Lunches are spent with the sock in the lounge. On Tuesday, we order pizza, which is delivered right to our room. How fun is that? On Wednesday, I catch Bosch rubbing Tammy's shoulders. On Thursday, I notice the way Kat blushes whenever Will pays her any attention. But the weird thing is, she's nice to me. And not super over-the-top nice, but secretly bitchy nice. She lends me her purple pen when mine runs out of ink, laughs at my jokes. Genuinely nice. If I were her, I would hate me. Even though London Zeal is back at the top of the A-list, she seems to have forgotten her hatred of me, or at least she is no longer exacting her revenge. Because of my new girlfriend of Will status, I have been forgiven and approved by the freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior A-lists, and therefore by the entire school. Everyone, that is, except Raph. These days, when he passes me, I don't even get the half smile. Raph is not impressed. What's his problem now? He doesn't like me, so no one else can like me either? Why are boys so annoying? On Friday, Tammy and I are sitting in bio when someone knocks on the door. I see Will through the window, and I feel warm all over. Special. Chosen. Strange. I used to feel that way only around Raph. Is it possible that I'm starting to like Will, too? To really like him? Is it possible to like two boys at once? Two brothers?
Come in, Mr. Khosravi, Mr. Frederick says.
The cool thing is that no matter which one I marry, I'll be Mrs. Khosravi. If I change my name, which I don't think I'll do, I can't just give up my identity. I see Will's face and block the argument out of my mind. I guess it isn't something I have to decide on immediately. He whispers something to Mr. Frederick, who nods and then looks up.
Ms. Weinstein and Ms. Wise, please go with Mr. Khosravi. You're excused for the rest of class.
Wahoo!
Tammy squeezes my hand as we excitedly follow Will out the door, passing Dory's envious, longing gaze. I'm sure nothing is really wrong. How awesome is Will, pretending something's wrong just to get us out of bio?
Thanks, I say, kissing his cheek. He smells good.
That was awesome, Tammy says. It was so boring in there.
Will shakes his head.
Don't thank me. I need your help. We're having an emergency sock meeting. The prom is on the verge of being canceled.